This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I think I vaguely remember you doing Mike Brown once too.
Oh, did you do a Mike Brown impression?
You did it like once.
It was like one. And we're like, yeah.
I did. I can't even remember how I did it, but yeah, I did. Well, I just kept messing with the glasses.
We haven't heard Mike Brown talk in so long.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, James.
Oh, no, that's what I did. I said, well, when it came to my guys, I had my guys out there, and I know that it's one of those things that if we play together, you know, my guys, I was at the Grant High School football game the other day. And when I was at Grant, they were playing cohesively as a group. You remember, James?
Okay.
James, you know, you were there, right? Yeah. So, you know, as my guys, they were there.
It's not. I think it's too fast. It's a little too fast, and it's a little too loud. Like, Mike will be...
Low-key, if you slow it down and quiet it down a little bit, you might
I think you're on to something.
That might be one of your
better
ones.
Just gotta, you know. Well, you know, James, on defense, James, let me show you. Come here, James. James, come here. Let me show you, James. When you box out this way, Deuce, come here. Guard James. Guard James, Deuce.
You gotta do it like you're at the podium. You gotta kind of like creep in, like you're talking close to the reporters and stuff, even though you're at the table 10 feet away.
And then you just randomly, and then you just look over and you smile.
Yeah, a little head nod maybe.
Well, you smile. That's when you lose. You go, well, you know, my guys, when we're out there, we have to find a way to make sure that we keep the intensity up at a playoff level. If you want to win a championship, Shannon, I got time, right? Okay. If you want to win a championship, you have to make sure that
a little
you
bit.
Stay
it's
focused.
A little bit better. It's a little bit better.
Possession after possession.
Okay, no, thank you.
After possession.
I thought Mike was playing a joke on us at that point. I thought my TV was broken.
How many times did he say it again?
26, I think.
26.
That was ridiculous. Vivek said, "That's enough."
Hey, I'm not lying. That was like
that was the nail in the coffin.
I don't blame him if that was enough for him.
Oh, so for this, just tuning in, the perfect Kings offseason consists of trading to DeMar DeRozan. Where are you at? Don't know.
Shanghai or Charlotte as of right now, I guess.
Entertain trading Domantas Sabonis and sign Keegan Murray.
There you go.
Perfect offseason for the Sacramento Kings, according, allegedly, to Bleacher Report.
I like the last one.
Are we all in
on
signing
Keegan? Okay, trade DeMar DeRozan. Great. Where? For who? Enter trading Domantas Sabonis. I don't know in what world, in whose brain you go, you know, that's a perfect offseason right there. That's a perfect move.
You guys know we picked up the phone.
You entertained trading Domantas Sabonis.
And, you know,
and then Keegan.
He responds so well to that.
I'm sure he'd respond great. And Keegan, what's the... I don't think anyone doesn't want to sign Keegan Murray. I think the question is, what's Keegan Murray's next contract? Mm. That's what the question is. And that's going to be, unless it's like, whoa, I can't believe he signed for that, like cheap, that contract is going to be scrutinized a lot.
Does
from what, and I'm just talking about within the fan base.
Yeah. Does it matter what you're signing him for? I guess if I'm talking about like on a grander, like on a, to a bigger contract. What I mean by that is there a point where if he's saying, hey, I want that Jalen Green contract, I think it was 3 years, 120 or something like that, the extension. Is that a point where it's like, it's too rich for me for Keegan? Or because of the situation, because
I hope it was 4 years, 120.
Maybe so.
Okay.
But like I don't want to go 120 for Keegan.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Is there a point like that? Or are you just like, see, I feel like you just signed him and figured it out.
Jalen Green was 3 years, 105. He's got a player option in the third year.
Okay.
Yeah, he's 35 per, basically.
And that's not a max.
I thought it was a max extension.
Is it? Was, okay. Yeah. All right.
I feel like maybe
you have, because that wouldn't go into effect this year. Mm-hmm. It would go into effect the following year. LaVine would have 1 year left, assuming he's still here. I assume that he is. And, well, you're entertaining trading Doma, so yeah, it's okay.
It's all good.
So we're setting the number for Keegan at 35 per year? Well, hold on, because, like, Jalen Green's there. Michael Porter Jr. is right there.
Anybody think Michael Porter Jr. is a good contract?
He was at he was when he was winning the title with them, and then I guess his back just didn't hold up, or his injuries, excuse me.
Man, it was 18 per. I'm looking at the regular season. He's dealing with something right now. I think he was. I can't remember if it was 18. It was either 16 or 18. Yeah.
Aaron Gordon is 34 per.
Aaron Gordon's a.
DeAndre Ayton is 33.
Is anyone a. Man, okay. Aaron Gordon's a difference maker. Is Keegan Murray a difference maker at the level that Aaron Gordon is? I'm asking with no judgment. I'm legitimately asking.
Not yet.
But here's what I would say if I was on Keegan's side. Like, hey, the market's been set. It's been set. Like, don't try and shortchange me, because if Jalen Green is making that, if Michael Porter Jr. is making that.
Is Jalen a good contract?
Probably not.
Can you give me a $35 million deal that's a good deal? Like, I mean, Aaron Gordon. I think Aaron Gordon's good. But that's a veteran.
So how does that?
Sanguin's at 36.
How does that work out, though?
Well, Houston might not feel like that's a good contract today, yeah. But that's. I think that's fine.
So how does that work out, though? Say the Kings. Keegan's like, I want 35. Kings, uh-huh. I don't think you were 35. And we're not going to sign. We're going to let you play out your rookie deal. He becomes an unrestricted free agent, correct?
No, I think he's restricted. Or wait, no, because he's coming off his rookie deal, right? Or did he already sign something?
No, he hasn't signed anything. No.
So he'd be restricted.
So he's restricted.
Yeah. If he's asking for too much, maybe you just let him play out the year and then see what the market says he's worth.
I think that's what I would do right now. That's what I would
do. I don't hate that either.
But like at what point?
If he's asking for like Casey said, like maybe if you're not comfortable paying 40, 35, we're just throwing numbers out, then yeah, I think that's when you let him play out the year.
Is that the breaking point? Like 35 plus is 30? Like it's like, nah.
It feels like
we'll let you check the market.
I think 25-30 is cool for Keegan.
Maybe I'm unfair because I was thinking like 4 years 80.
Okay. Players making 20 per, Caruso, Josh Hart. Lonzo's there. Dylan Brooks. DeAndre Hunter's at 22.
Claxton signed for... No, that was 100. Sorry, that was 2 for 100. Or 4 for 100.
I feel like that's perfectly fair. 4 years, 80. 20 million a year.
It's not the worst. That's a great contract.
I don't think that's disrespectful.
I think that's a great
contract.
I think
you're a $20 million a year player right now.
I think the part where Keegan's representatives would run into trouble is, I don't know that most people would go with those. I wouldn't use Michael Porter Jr. as an example, because I don't know that Denver wants that contract. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, Michael Porter Jr. is averaging 18-7 or something like that, or 18-6.
Right.
Keegan's not doing that. So you're kind of catching a double-edged sword if you're Keegan's representative using a contract like his. Jalen's the same thing. Jalen, you could get a little speculative with, but it's like, you know, they're trying to trade Jalen. Mm-hmm. Like, they're using his contract as a catalyst to something bigger.
Right.
You trying to be with, you know, Sacramento and build something here? Because if you don't, like, let's start that process now and get you somewhere else.
Yeah. How do we feel
like
about
it? I think you're playing with fire either way if you're Keegan's representative.
How do we feel about RJ Barrett still giving that to Keegan? It's 4 years, 107. It's like 26.7 per year.
That's fair. If I wanted to be really nice, I'd do that and say, hey, and maybe make sure he feels good and say, look, man, we believe in you a little bit. Like, because I think the 480 is good. But if I wanted to be like, nah, Keegan, I want to make sure you know we appreciate you.
And
like,
what? Yeah. That's not what that means.
Well, I think you're 480.
Yeah, well, 480. But, yeah, but if we, but you know what the reappreciate you deal means? It means the same things it means for RJ Barrett. Your contract will be used to acquire someone else if we need to. Because correct me if I'm wrong, RJ Barrett's not on the team that signed him to the 4-year, $107 million deal.
Nope.
Yeah.
That's true too.
So there's that, and maybe that's part of the game Scott Perry plays. Like, we look at worth. Mm-hmm. Oh, what do we? And who are we to judge? But like, what do we think Keegan Murray is worth? All right, what do the Sacramento Kings think Keegan Murray can be in 2 years? And how tradable is a Keegan Murray at 20? What was the number you just said? $26 million a year, $27 million a year, when he's averaging 18 points per game or 17 points per game, and he's still young and he's on his second contract. Yeah. How attractive is that if there's a deal out there for us?
And that's another reason, the way you just broke that down was perfect. That's another reason why it's almost a no-brainer to sign him to an extension, because you can use that as another asset.
Yeah.
Keegan mm-hmm. Murray becomes an asset.
Yeah, so, signing him to an extension is...
Yeah, and that's because before I thought, well, you know, why not just let him play it out? But if you're trying to build something and create assets and be able to position yourself to maybe get a bigger fish.
Yeah.
You want that contract.
You need pieces to trade.
Yeah.
Which it feels like the Sacramento Kings never have.
Right. So 480, I could see his representation being like, no, we don't want to do that. I think you could get a deal done with what Jesse said, the RJ Barrett.
400 seems more likely. Anything higher than that, I don't know that you could trade. You could trade anyone, but I don't know how attractive it is.
Well, then I would use like how Jesse talks about Brock Purdy and that contract.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If Keegan's like, yo, I want the Jalen Green deal, I want the Michael Porter deal, I would say, be fair, Keegan, nobody in the league is signing you to that. If you're on the open market, nobody's signing you to $35 million a year.
Yeah.
So why would we just give you that? Because, no, like, you can get this four for 100 that we're being really nice about giving you, and in actuality, we just want to trade you. But we're being really nice about it. Or we could just go to you could just be in a restricted free agent and let the market dictate it.
Or not even want to trade you, but
have the ability
to. The option, like the ability to be a very lucrative trade piece comes in there. Matt George, the bat signal went out as soon as he heard Keegan Murray in contract extension. Matt George is with us. We will talk to him next. Kenny's actually stepping out. So it'll be me and Matt George when dealing with KC return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Or Matt George with us locked on Kings ABC 10 just innocently asked, Jesse, you good? And gets a prompt response. No, in fact, I'm not. Yeah, if you have an opportunity. I
appreciate the thought from Matt, though, to ask.
Yeah, go back and watch the beginning of the show. Not good, man. Not
Jesse,
good.
I replied to just one of your tweets last night, and I wanted to do more, but I had a soft spot in my heart. If you were Kenny Caraway, oh, there would have been like 70 plus tweets. But
Matt, it's all good. I talk a lot of smack throughout the year, so it's all out there.
Oh man, Jesse's been holding on to a text exchange from the summer, and it's going all bad right now. But I know I am not of the belief that series is over. I'm not of a belief either of these 2-0 series is over. I can see the Celtics coming back. I can absolutely see the Cavs coming back. I can see the Golden State Warriors winning another game. Like I think things are so, even after the beatdown, like Denver winning another game against Oklahoma City, Denver making this a series doesn't, you know, it wouldn't surprise me a ton. Like, I think there's a lot of really good competitive basketball still ahead here in this postseason.
Well, before we get to that, Jesse, I'll say too, like, the writing's on the wall, man. It's time to break it up. You're at your championship. Just send Jalen Brown to Sacramento, and we'll call it a deal. We'll figure it all out, and we'll go from there.
So I'll tweet earlier this week. We're trying to work out a Drew Holiday, Keon Ellis type situation, make the money work.
I heard you guys talking about that, and I love Drew Holiday, but no thanks.
Come on, Matt. Come on.
I don't know.
I'm hurting right now. Give us Keon.
No. How about that? No. These playoffs have been phenomenal. I mean, they've just been so much fun. Like, the unpredictability, is that a word, of everything has been, I mean, it falls right into your point of 100% the Celtics could go into the Garden and win two games. Now, I agree with what Jesse said earlier. I'm intimidated as hell if I'm Boston going into Madison Square Garden for game three with how rowdy that crowd is going to be, in the belief that, I mean, there's a pro and the con to the belief in New York that the series is over. The pro is, like, you have to deal with New York and the arrogance and the confidence and the cockiness of the series is over. The con is that New York can jinx themselves by acting that way. So, I mean, I still think that series is going to go six games, and we'll see if Boston can. I mean, if they lose game three, it's cooked. They got to win game three. For Cleveland and Indiana, I don't know.
Hold on one second, Matt. Hold on one second. What the hell is going on here?
My own damn family chatty housed me.
What happened? Yeah.
Kenny said he thought he had to leave for a 4 o'clock appointment.
It's tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to do the show anymore.
Whole damn family chat. He asked me.
Cool. Right. Well, there goes my time. All right. I'll see you guys later.
And I said, well, I'm going back to talk to my guy, Matt. That's what I said.
See, that's what it is. He came back just for you, Matt.
No.
But you were, sorry, I interrupted you. I wanted to bring Kenny back. You were talking about the other series.
Yeah, just Indiana, Cleveland. I mean, when the Pacers won game one because they shot the you know what out of the ball and Cleveland struggled to shoot, I was like, okay, there's a variable there. But Cleveland shot the ball well in game two, and yes, he did. Cleveland shot the ball well in game two, and they still got beat on their home floor. So yeah. I like Indy, man. I think the Pacers are legit. And you asked the question before we went on air, does watching Tyrese hurt me? Do I not enjoy it? I absolutely enjoy it from a basketball standpoint, but there's not a part of my Kings fanhood that isn't cringing and tearing up a little bit watching what he's doing again in the playoffs for the second straight year. There's nothing fluky about what the Pacers are doing, that's for sure.
Well, the frustrating thing about that is like we're missing it because, or we're, you know, feeling some type of way because we're not in the playoffs. Like if the Kings were in the playoffs and Tyrese was doing this, I don't think it would hit the same for Kings fans, right? Like, because hey, we're in the playoffs too. I can't remember, they didn't make the playoff. Indiana didn't make the playoffs. The Kings did, right?
Correct.
So, you know, everything was good. And even, like, we weren't even really stressing about it last year, you know, when the Kings didn't make it and they made the run. But everything that's gone on with...
Well, I think De'Aaron being gone adds an element to that. So it's like, hold up, we don't have Tyrese or De'Aaron?
Right.
That's whack.
Yeah. Or Buddy?
Right. Or we don't have Buddy either. Buddy out here, he's the key to the Warriors winning another title right now.
So with those guys, with us... As Kings fans and people that follow the team not being in any postseason situation, that's just kind of driving a stake home even more.
Look, and I have no problem. Like, get your stuff off if you feel a certain type of way and want to call the trade stupid or whatever, like revisionist history, whatever. Like, get you're more than valued to do so. What you shouldn't do, because it's misinformed, is see, the Kings should have traded De'Aaron Fox. The Kings traded the wrong guy. It shouldn't have to be explained that Tyrese Halliburton's value is significantly more than De'Aaron Fox's on a brand new contract that he had just signed when Tyrese was completely under rookie scale financial control for a team in the Indiana Pacers that didn't exactly have a direction yet. It's not like they traded for a win now superstar. The Pacers were trying to go in a new direction. What was working there or what was happening there wasn't working. So naturally, you want to go young. You want to try and find a piece that you believe will turn into something that you have contractual control over. They hit the jackpot. They got a guy that checks all those boxes. So we can bring up the conversation of the trade in the sense of, was it a good or bad trade? It's looking pretty bad in the long term. Whatever. That's how it works. It plays out. But don't fall into the rabbit hole or the trick or trap of, well, the Kings should have traded De'Aaron Fox and not traded Tyrese Halliburton, because that circumstance just didn't exist. There was no De'Aaron Fox to the Indiana Pacers trade, and Monty McNair chose to trade Tyrese instead of De'Aaron. Like, that didn't exist. That wasn't a real thing.
Positive?
That's NBA 2K.
Are you 100% positive?
I have a pretty firm confidence in the belief that Tyrese Halliburton's value was significantly better than De'Aaron Fox's. I do know that the Kings were shopping and looking for options of trading De'Aaron Fox. They were, because Monty McNair's first draft pick ever was Tyrese Halliburton. So I've never, ever heard or been given any kind of reason to believe that Fox for Sabonis or Halliburton for Sabonis were on the table, and the Kings chose to trade Tyrese instead of De'Aaron Fox. I've never heard that. I would be floored if suddenly that came out.
And even if it was... I won't use revisionist history. I would have traded Halliburton. Like, I would have kept Fox. I think Fox is the better player, and Halliburton's great, and maybe his fit and all those other extra things fit a little bit better here in Sacramento with the team, the community, and everything. But I think Fox is the better player, and I would have, if that fictitious scenario was on the table, or if that fictitious scenario was on the table, I would have chose Fox.
Yeah. Do you still think Fox is the better player now? Because at the time, it was undeniable. Oh, now
you do.
Yeah, Fox is still better.
So you think Fox with the Spurs will ultimately go further or accomplish more than you think a Pacers or Tyrese-led Pacers.
As an individual, not as a team, as an individual.
Because Tyrese is the dude in Indy. Fox is going to be second to Wimby. Not that that's a bad thing.
Tyrese is the dude. Tyrese is the leader. He's the straw that stirs the drink. I think their best player is Pascal Siakam.
Do you think that'll be the case next year?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. Yeah.
And Tyrese will be a major part of any success they ever have. Like they if Tyrese is out and Siakam's there by himself, like they're not gonna stay cooking. Like they need Tyrese. But yeah, I just think Fox is better than Haliburton.
And for the record too, Fox playing second fiddle to Wimby is not an insult to Fox by any means. It's quite literally perfect.
The entire league is playing second fiddle to Wimby.
Yeah. Right. It's literally perfect. Fox can still be the dude that we know he is and take over games, and he will take over games, but he has a 7-foot freak of nature to draw all the attention that he can dump the ball off to at any point and let rock too. So that's Spurs are going to be just a huge problem next season.
Wait till they get Giannis.
No. Well, it's out there. It's out there. You think Keegan Murray will ever be the best player on the Sacramento Kings? That's your man's.
Not if the team's good. And I don't mean that in an insulting way to Keegan. I think Keegan is a really, really high-end, productive, not role player, but I think he is a high-end starter and potentially elite two-way player on a championship-caliber team. I think that's his ceiling, and I think he's more than capable of still reaching that. But if Keegan Murray is the best player on your team, then I don't think you're a very good basketball team. And I think anybody who's building a roster would say the same thing. That being said, every single team in the league wants Keegan Murray. Like, you want that type of player. Those players are unbelievably valuable around the league. They're not getting superstar contracts. They're not the ones that you trade 4 to 6 first-round picks for. But every roster needs to round themselves out with players that fit the Keegan Murray archetype. The Kings have been looking for players of that archetype at that position for their entire existence here in Sacramento. Like, they've struggled historically finding depth at that position, which is why the idea of trading Keegan Murray, not that it's outlandish, not that I'm saying I'll never trade Keegan Murray or anything like that. It's certainly changed from how it was last season because of circumstances or last offseason. But if you're trading Keegan Murray, you're trying to get back what you need more of, which is Keegan Murray or a player of Keegan Murray's caliber. And it's the same conversation with Harrison Barnes. It's the same conversation with DeMar DeRozan. You're not trading away players that you need more of and getting better value for those players. It doesn't exist. It doesn't work that way. You're not trading Keegan Murray and getting a better version of Keegan Murray. If you're trading DeMar DeRozan, which I think the Kings should do and DeMar will want to happen, you're not getting a better player for DeMar DeRozan. You have to get ultimately a better fit or a player that you think can fit your long-term vision more. So maybe you trade Keegan Murray for a package of assets that you think you can go forward with. But if you're left with, once again, nobody of any significance to play and guard the forward position, then how can you say you're a defensive-oriented team, and how can you call that one of your identity traits like Scott Perry laid out in his introductory press conference? It doesn't make sense. It's the same way I feel about trading Keon Ellis. How can you call yourself a defensive-oriented team and trade Keon Ellis, especially when Keon Ellis is a $2 to $3 million per year player, which you're not getting anything of significance back from because he doesn't make enough money for you to get anything of significance unless you're adding him on as a trade sweetener, which is not positive value, in my opinion, for Keon. So it's just kind of the conundrum that Scott Perry's in right now.
If you, in that situation with the Keon thing, because you touched on something, if it were to get you a guy like Drew Holiday, would you be in favor of adding Keon? Because I don't want Keon to go anywhere either, but I do look at Keon and Keegan and kind of feel like, man, you might have to give up one of those to get a player that you really want and feel like you really need. Is that the type of player that you would be okay giving up Keon for? Because maybe he's bringing back some of the same things that Keon has.
So let me ask this, and I this is a genuine question. What's the point? What's the point of bringing Drew Holiday and adding him to this team right now? What is the point?
The point is you'd get we'd have fun with this, but a true organizer, a true point guard in here that I don't think Keon can be. He's more of a wing guy, and you need a point guard. You need somebody that is going to put everybody where they need to be and be that extension of the coach on the floor.
So you're hoping to trade Keon Ellis, who you could potentially, theoretically, if you negotiate a deal with, have 4+ years of control. Well, not 4+. Let's say 4 years of control if you sign into an extension or a new deal or whatever. For a guy that you're essentially hoping can organize you when you run out the length of Zach LaVine's contract. Like, is that fair to say?
Sure.
Like, so you're talking about Drew Holiday, and I love Drew Holiday, by the way. I'm a huge fan of Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. But I don't like anything short term for this organization right now. I don't like any move that is short term. I don't I don't think Drew Holiday, I mean, he makes the Kings better short term, probably, sure. But better enough for it to be of any kind of significance to what I think Keon Ellis can be for the Kings long term as a, I think he's established himself as a starting caliber player in this league. Has he not? Like, we can argue, oh, if it's a championship team, is Keon Ellis starting? If Keon Ellis is on the Boston Celtics, Jesse, is he starting right now?
Jesse's quit. He's had it. Shoot, for those watching, Jesse left. You don't want any part of this anymore. He's tired of it.
My overall point is I don't know if a short term move like Drew Holiday makes sense for this organization right now, unless it's Scott Perry just trying to buy time, which maybe that's literally all he's doing.
So that brings us to a conversation we were having earlier, because Kenny claims to have found a video from Bleacher Report, but. It's Kenny, so you never know.
Oh, no. He got Chatty House again?
Where they got home. Oh, he had a gym today. But
he got Chatty House today?
Yeah.
Baseball got me. It's the first time, man. First time baseball got
me. It was rather epic, too. Like, he went on, like, and I was asking questions. It went on. And it's the best part of this. This is a segment he is in full control of. He doesn't prep me. Does not prep me before it. Doesn't like that. That's a shoot. That whole thing is live.
I had that one waiting in the tuck for like 2 days.
And too. I was.
He got you to bump a story that wasn't real?
Yes.
So he got Chatty House.
Well, I guess I did.
Yeah, that's the way to look. There we go.
I guess I did. I got to start asking. So, okay, Kenny, where did you get this story from?
I'd say MLB.
Start with your sources.
Bleacher Report said the perfect moves for the Kings this season. This is terrific. Good call. Well, if I had known what the moves were, I might not. Because one was trade DeMar DeRozan. Where? For who? No idea.
Oh, cool.
Another, again, perfect move for the Sacramento Kings is to enter trade for DeMontis Sabonis.
Cool. Yeah.
That's a great idea. And as pointed out, I'm sure he'll handle that perfect. That won't backfire at all.
But what, two sentences on this article, okay.
But what got us talking was sign Keegan Murray to a contract extension. And much like the other two, left out details. For how much? For how long? And that's where the discussion began. For you, who have been Team Keegan since day one, what is the appropriate contract extension for Keegan Murray this offseason, should one be signed?
Oof. Okay. I don't know, like, player comp or like player.
So I'll give you a couple. We found Michael Porter Jr. was in the area of $35 million per year. Jalen Green, was he in that same area of 35 per year?
He was 35, yep.
Then we found, you know, a couple that were more in the vicinity of like $25 million a year, $27 million a year. I think our ultimate proposal wound up at 30 per.
So the first number that jumped into my head was like 28, 29. That was the first number that jumped into my head. I think he's right on the cusp of being a $30 million per year player. Granted, the salary cap is going up and everything too. So all these numbers are going to be slightly inflated when that goes up. But I know Keegan's going to try and chase, and his agency is going to try and chase as much money as they can possibly get. And I get that. I feel like they have a significant amount of leverage in this circumstance, regardless of the Kings' position, because Keegan Murray can look around and go, I had to defend the freaking five here, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you need me more than I need you. I know that I have value for 29 other teams. I know there are championship caliber teams that will want to add me to their roster. Now, I might be a depth piece off the bench, but I can go and play some meaningful minutes where I can be a catch and shoot 3-and-D specialist. And he absolutely is going to have a market around the league for that. So the Kings have to be wary of that. But he's not, like, I would not pay him the money that Michael Porter Jr. gets. I think Keegan Murray has the potential of being exactly what Michael Porter Jr. is for the Nuggets on a championship caliber team. 100%. Even a better defender, I would say, than Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
But he has not shown that necessarily here. And partially that's not his fault. Casey, I want to preface this by saying this is not a shot at DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine. It's just the realities of the bulk of shots are going to them on the roster. So that's going to have an impact on Keegan Murray. Do I think it hampers his development like people have taken a run with? No, because Keegan learned how to develop in other ways. He's gotten significantly better as a rebounder, significantly better as a defender, pretty much 1 through 5. It's not DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine's fault. They're not holding Keegan Murray back. But the reality is we didn't get to see what Keegan Murray could look like as more of an MPJ or what, like RJ Barrett, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like these are Keegan, I don't think has gotten that showcase opportunity yet. But at the same time, the Kings couldn't ever wait for him to showcase that because they've always been kind of in a win now mode. So I would 100% extend Keegan Murray if the argument was he wants to be 30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And I'm at 28. I give him 30 a year, but I'm not paying him more than what Michael Porter Jr. is making. But I also don't know how much I'm fighting that. Like, cause I just don't understand how the Kings could possibly afford, unless they signed and traded him or just traded him beforehand. I don't know how the Kings could possibly afford to let the guy go over a few million dollars with the state of this roster.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that we're talking, maybe we've got it wrong, or I've got it wrong in a situation, but when you talk about leverage, I don't think Keegan has any leverage. He's on the rookie contract. And if we're saying we want to give you 22, an escalating deal that goes from 22 to 26 over the course of four years, and you want 30 plus, like, no, we're not doing that, and we'll let the market dictate what your next contract will be. If somebody really is willing to give you $32 million a year, we'll find that out in a year or two, and we'll just go to restricted free agency. I think he's more of a 25 or so million dollar a year player. That 4 years, $100 million, I think that's a little bit more fair for him. If he was If we were in a situation where it was like, Keegan, you're right,
you know, we had DeRozan here and we had these other guys that were taking your shots away. We're gonna put the ball in your hands here to be that second or third scorer or creator. I'd feel nervous. I'm not gonna say he can't do it, but I would not feel comfortable at saying, like, you're right. We heard James Ham. They're taking your shots away. We're gonna give it to you now. I'd feel nervous. I would not feel comfortable with him in that situation. Not
I agree. What kind of team are you? So that's my thing is I agree. If I'm a team that's trying to make it to the playoffs and win right now, I 100% feel the exact same way you do, KC. But if I'm in the position of the Sacramento Kings where I know I'm pretty much capped out at being mid, like, do you give the dude a year of, I mean, Zach LaVine's going to be here, so it has to be within real, like, Keegan Murray's not going to jump up to taking the most shots on the team. That's not realistic. But if you and Doug Christie and Scott Perry get together and sit down and go, a goal for this season is to feature Keegan Murray and see what we got before we make this decision, I think that is a way that you can turn not necessarily a lost season, but a season that's going to have a lot of question marks and not really any kind of short-term direction. That's how I feel about this upcoming season. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of direction for this year. I think it's going to be a gap year in many ways.
Like, oh, that's a way. God, I can, damn it. We're doing that again?
I'm sorry. Like, that's what I feel like this year's going to be. Sell me on this season.
Boo!
Boo me all you want. Sell me on this season. Tell me what there is to be excited about this upcoming season with realistically the state of this roster.
Well, there's nothing to be excited about right now.
Well, yes.
Well, give me something to be excited about, Scott.
Exactly. But I'm saying if you have a season where you're not necessarily running this back, because I don't think Scott Perry's ever going to just completely run this back, but you go into a season where it's like, we're still competitive, but we're going to try and make sure Keegan Murray is second or third on the team in shot attempts per game, then I'm kind of game for that before you make that decision, Casey. But I'm not doing that with the expectation that that's my best route to winning basketball games, right, unless I'm pleasantly surprised.
And I think this is what you were saying, too. I'm not doing that, giving you a contract. If that's what I want to see, then you're going to go into that final year without a contract. Like, I'm not signing you to no extension.
100%.
So, but I do think, because we talked about it earlier, I do think one of the better strategic ways to go about this for the Sacramento Kings is to sign Keegan Murray to that extension this summer, and hopefully it's for a decent price, like the price that you want, because best case scenario, he's your guy, like, you're doing good and he's a guy that you have his core and everything's good. But worst case scenario, he now becomes an asset that you can move for maybe a bigger piece in a year or two or something like that. And only way you do that is if you have him locked up for a few years. So I think
if you can get it done for less than 30 mil a year this summer, get it done. But if he's pushing 32, 33, then, like Kenny said earlier, laid out earlier, then you play the market waiting game. But I also play the market waiting game knowing full well that if we rode that wave out, and let's say the Chicago Bulls, because everything the Kings and Bulls do is now connected or together. The Chicago Bulls try and get revenge for the Zach LaVine offer sheet and offer Keegan 32 a year. If I'm the Kings, I'm matching it because I don't have any other option. I don't have any other choice, at least at this point in time. But there's a year of context between now and then.
What is how familiar? What is Keon's situation this offseason?
So he has a team option, I believe. He has a team option, I believe, which if the Kings exercise that team option, he has a $2.3 million team option next season. Mm-hmm. If the Kings exercise that option, he therefore becomes a unrestricted free agent at the end of it.
Okay.
Now, if they don't exercise that option and they go into free agency this year, he is a restricted free agent. So they have more control. The problem is, though, what I have to double check, because in the case of like Jake LaRavia, because you didn't pick up his option, you're capped and you're limited on how much you could give him. But that's a rookie scale contract. Keon Ellis is on his first major NBA contract after being a two-way player. So it might be different. I'm not 100% sure. But from what I understand, if they exercise this option, he then will become unrestricted. So the best case scenario is probably the Kings either finding a way to extend him this summer or taking that option and then making an extension next season.
If he enters free agency next year, he can re-sign with the Kings. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just obviously he's on the market.
He would have his free pick. Right. Yeah. Now Boston can say, here's $10 million, and he can go, I'm going to Boston. Is Jesse back yet?
Nope. No, Jesse is through with us. He's through with this show. He's tired of he doesn't want to talk about Matt's
podcast. What happened? Matt's throwing shots?
No. He asked you a question about Keon. He asked you earlier when you were legit going. Do you like Keon Ellis on the Celtics?
Yeah, I love Keon Ellis on the Celtics. I think for the price he'd be at and what they're trying to do and just the way he'd fit in, he'd be perfect.
Does he start?
No, because Peyton Pritchard, I think, is getting that first nod at point guard. Would be Peyton, Derek White, and then Brown, Tatum, and insert center there.
Also, I admire the confidence and the faith that Jesse has in the two of you, because off-season story time, Damian remembers this very, very well. There was a time where I was not paying attention to the show at a former employer, and one Bobby Jackson was on the air. Having an interview with Damian and dropped a little four letter word and I didn't hear it at all, and it made it past me.
I'll pick and choose my moments. We don't just leave. Trista Crick is here. We probably got to stick around.
Yeah.
And you're leaving with me? That's brave.
Matt had one of the greatest slip ups I think in show history.
Yeah,
I've had two of them.
That's classic.
Yeah, and I remember one was really emphatic.
If we get fired up, Matt, though, I'm like, all right, let me stick around because he might like drop some on the Kings. So but if Matt's chill, man, like usually we're good.
Like what's off season Matt gonna cuss about? Like off season Matt has no reason to be upset.
Off season Matt now has to be a lot more careful and turn a new leaf because Matt's gotten in trouble for his own versions of four letter words that shouldn't be getting in trouble for.
That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a story for another time.
I watch the many faces of Matt George, Cactus Jack, Matt George getting in trouble.
There it is. That's the Cactus Jack persona.
But I'm so likable.
You are. You're often mankind with the sock puppet. Like you're a lovable character.
I like to believe I have Santino Marella, a little bit of Santino Marella vibes.
Santino Marella.
Borderline Eugene when it comes to the back.
That was low key a good impersonation right there.
That was a moment too. Santino used to crack me up.
He was over. That was hilarious. Yeah,
it is crazy that Santino got over.
It was the stupidest move of all time, but it worked.
He and R-Truth, both their goals in life are just to make their fellow wrestlers crack or break.
No, I think R-Truth is one of the funniest people alive.
R-Truth.
Like R-Truth is hilarious. He is so funny.
His segment to this day with Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar about the Royal Rumble is still one of my favorite segments of all time. R-Truth could be a phenomenal.
Was that the one where he thought Paul Heyman was entering the Royal Rumble?
He's cutting a promo and you think he's talking about Brock the entire time. And then he says, I'm going to throw you over the top rope, Paul Heyman.
And then as you say, I'm going to be the first one to decommit from the Royal Rumble. That's great.
My bad.
That's great. I think Brock popped for that, if I remember.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he did. And then Brock had to recalibrate because the segment had to end with Brock F5ing R-Truth.
Yeah.
So he had to find a way to get mad again because he was having too much fun.
We're not supposed to talk about Brock anymore.
Oh, sorry.
I saw they're bringing Goldberg back. Or I don't want to say they're bringing that conversation is picked up again to bring Goldberg back.
For what?
Probably kill someone.
Gunther's supposed to be the one to beat him, I guess.
Yeah, they want to drop Gunther on his neck and just end his career.
Let's do that to the Undertaker.
R-Truth would be a phenomenal guest on this show.
R-Truth would be a
phenomenal guest on this show.
WWE left Jesse on red for 2 weeks.
Yeah, please email me back twice.
Me too, brother. Me too.
Guess they're too big for little old Sacramento. Well,
with the crappy Raw they gave us, man, thank God it didn't end up. Jesse, good thing we didn't end up buying tickets to go to that crap. That was a terrible one.
Yeah, me and Matt were like, should we? He was like, I think I'm going to hold back.
That Raw was horrible.
Shout out to Dave. He told us, we learned a lesson. Don't ever go to the Raw before WrestleMania. Yeah.
Go to SmackDown if you can.
I was mad for Netflix.
There's
literally one segment. That was it.
I think I'm out, Matt. We've been talking about this for weeks. I am not even slightly interested. This was the least I had watched on the build to WrestleMania. There's no interesting, there's nothing that I'm interested in right now. John Cena, heel John Cena, doesn't move me whatsoever. All I want to see is the end. That's all I want to see. Like, I don't know if they can tell me. I know what I don't want. I don't want John Cena and Travis Scott versus John Cena and Bad Bunny. Well, I don't want that.
That's what ESPN said might happen.
Unless that match is happening in Puerto Rico where I can have that crowd,
yeah.
I don't want it. But if it's happening in Puerto Rico, I'm all in. Because that crowd was crazy.
That Puerto Rico crowd was crazy. I saw that clip the other day.
Yeah, it was like the anniversary of that match or something.
That went crazy.
Yeah, Bad Bunny killed it.
Young Matt George was really excited to see Cena and Orton in an angle together. And then I saw their first promo segment and I didn't care anymore. I was like, you guys are best buddies. What are you doing here?
You can't make that match interesting for the 4,000th time. Like, you just can't. Like, we get
that. That was one of the greatest rivalries ever, though.
Oh, I had a bump it or dump it that didn't make the cut because I destroyed it.
Was it real?
Not. Well, I think
you don't know. That's great. The fact that
I don't know anything.
Oh, yeah. I'm on Google. I'll look it up.
The fact that you're not sure.
Do you guys want to hear it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you guys, once again, tell me bumper to dump it. We don't have to say it. But Randy Orton gives his Mount Rushmore female.
So this is a shoot. I saw this. This is a good one. This is a good one. Ooh. I like this.
Oh, bump it for sure.
Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, Megan Thee Stallion, and Glorilla. That's his Mount Rushmore of female rappers.
Now, hold on real quick. Say it again one more time.
Cardi.
Yep.
One, Nicki.
Two.
Meg.
Three.
And Glorilla.
Four. Okay.
Randy Orton, who
Randy
has
Orton
done
loves
a 180
him,
since Black Lives Matter.
I'm pretty sure Randy Orton hated black people 4 years ago. Now he's all about it. Now he is all about it.
Never mind, dump it.
His ways. Did you see he gave Anthony Edwards the
I did.
Legend killer?
You know what was great is me and Jason Jones were talking about that.
Yeah.
And we were like, if they don't run an angle somehow where Randy Orton is involved with Ant-Man, now it wasn't an angle. Randy Orton did it himself. Yeah, but yeah, that's pretty dope.
I don't know what you do. Howl at the Moon or whatever they do at the beginning of Timberwolves games. It should be Randy Orton coming out there.
RKO.
Yeah, RKO buddy.
Oh, come on, man.
Buddy starts to dribble, just pa.
Well, see, that's how many times do you think Steve Kerr has said today, or Draymond Green has said today, buddy, I know Steph isn't here. Don't dribble.
Damn.
Just do what you do. You've been killing it. Just keep doing that. Don't start dribbling the ball. How many times has Jimmy pulled him aside? Don't start dribbling the ball. Just shoot, buddy. You got this. Are you enjoying the emergence of Shavano here in these postseason, Matt?
I mean, we've seen the Buddy Hield hot streaks in significantly less meaningful games in Saturday.
We have.
We know when he gets on one, he can get on one. So it's been kind of fun to see that part, but it's all like I look at it as it's a transaction. You're getting it now, but you're going to pay for it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in this series or next series, at some point, Buddy's
going
to do something.
Or it's in a couple hours.
It could be, honestly, a couple hours. Yeah, at some point, Buddy's going to do something. And we're like, there it goes. Mm. There it is. It's going to happen. So,
yeah, it probably will, but I'll give him credit. He's not turning the ball over. He's shooting the ball well. He's doing a lot of different things besides scoring that have helped the Golden State Warriors win the last couple of games. Now, it is a completely different storyline headed into tonight's game without Steph Curry. That's not his fault. But if Buddy can find a way to not try to do too much, I think the Golden State Warriors will be in a better position than any of us think. Or they'll lose by 49. I'm not sure, but I'll lean on the side of they're not going to be on the receiving end of a beatdown like the
Minnesota
Nuggets were.
I think they're going to roll tonight. I think Minnesota going to roll. We're looking at 17 to 24 point victory.
17 to 24 points, huh?
The Warriors have to muddy this game up. Like, it has to be low scoring if they're going to win, right? Like, it has to be a Draymond Green
episode. I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
It has to be Draymond Green episode, maybe picking a fight with Rudy Gobert.
Well, check the officials. Because what was the Chris Finch stuff, you know? Or the, check the pulse of the officials early.
Oh, boy came back last night. Scott Foster.
Yeah.
He was in OKC.
Yeah, what was, he was out because he was ill?
Hurt. No, he
was
hurt.
Oh, he was hurt.
Yeah, like a calf strain or something like that. He made his return. The playoffs are
Scott
here.
Scott Foster time, baby.
If the Warriors win this game tonight, it's going to be like 89-86.
Oh,
like, that's how the Warriors win this game.
What was last night? 91-90?
190-90. Oh, no, you're talking about that. No, yeah, it was 90.
No, that was the other one. That was the other one.
91-90, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would be bad for Minnesota. Minnesota can't. Mm-hmm. They can't. That'd be bad for them. That'd be bad. And we mentioned it yesterday. Golden State deserves credit for some of these bad scoring performances we've seen with Houston and now with Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Their defense is like that.
Yeah, people forget that. Even with those championship teams, you know, it's been a calling card of this team. This isn't new. They have always been a good defensive team.
Yep.
Always.
Yep. In true Matt George fashion, can I tie it back to the Kings really quick before we wrap up?
Of course.
If you're the Kings, how closely are you paying attention to Andrew Wiggins' situation right now? No, sorry. Jeez Louise. Not Andrew Wiggins. Jonathan Kuminga, thank you.
Yeah,
how closely
very.
Are you paying attention to Kuminga's situation?
Yeah, very, like the rest of the league.
Yeah. I don't know how they get involved in that, though. Like, I don't know how the King – I don't see the angle to them. I'm watching it, too, but I'm like, how
– Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter.
Oh, well.
Universal deal.
Damn. You think the Warriors want DeMar DeRozan?
No, I do not. I do not. The one who I think could use DeMar is Houston, though. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a 2 hours later, I'll pay off the tease. Fred Van Fleet and the Houston Rockets pushed back the team option. And I think there's I think it's the end of June now, which is obviously right before the start of the league year free agency. They have a lot of time to figure out if there's a deal out there for him. I don't see a scenario where Houston doesn't pick up that option because it's tradable during the season. It's not like the ability to trade him runs out in June 29th. Go ahead, Matt. You look like you're about to.
So I admit this is revisionist history nonsense that I probably should just get over. But this is one of those things where I'm feeling like if you hadn't just waited on trading De'Aaron Fox, right, Houston, I don't know if it ever would have worked out. It's totally hypothetical. But Houston is now in a position where they're going, oh, man, we probably could have used a scoring point guard in that series to help us. We're really lacking point guard depth. This is a situation where I feel like if De'Aaron Fox were still on the team and the Kings were still shopping him, maybe now they have a little more leverage with Houston than they did at the time. It's just one of those revisionist history things that we're never, ever going to know, and I'm going to torture myself with. But that's just been in my head.
Well, take solace in the fact that they probably would have said, we don't want to go to Houston.
Well, the only flip side to that is they could have gone, well, that's fine. We want to trade Fred VanVleet anyways, and the other deals we want aren't out there, so it's fine.
That's true, too. Mm.
If we can't win De'Aaron over for a year, we were going to lose Fred VanVleet. It doesn't matter.
Damian Pritchard.
We'll come back. We'll come back tomorrow. We're going to head over to 102.5. Big thanks to our man Matt George over on ABC 10 and, of course, the Locked On Kings podcast. We will see you here tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos NBA Centel.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.